We're going to turn in God's word now, reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 10, and we're looking at the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. That's in Luke 19, verses 1 down to verse 10, and you'll find that on the Pew Bibles, about page 878, or there or thereabouts. And maybe if you've grown up in Sunday school as a child, I don't know if you know of the old wee children's song, Zacchaeus was a very little man, a very little man was he. Well, I hopefully wouldn't start singing it for you in our sermon today. If I do, just mute me, mic, please. Let's going to look at Jesus and Zacchaeus this morning. And thinking around that area of encounter, about encountering Jesus and the difference that makes in our lives. So let's read from God's word together this morning. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry down and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Amen. And may God bless us reading of his word this morning. In these verses, especially in verse 10, we have what is at the heart of what we believe. It is at the very essence of what the Christian faith is all about. If I was to ask you or even people outside the church, I wonder what the response would be if we were to ask, what do we believe? What is it we gather round as Christians on a Sunday morning at 10:30? What is this whole Christianity thing all about? Well, in verse 10, we have what it is all about. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. The Christian faith is summed up in that one verse, that Jesus came to save and to seek those who are lost. And as I've said, I've been thinking about the importance of encounter with Jesus. It's kind of come after looking at the Christ in service that we had, where we thought about three individuals who encountered Jesus after his resurrection, and how when they saw him initially, they were one way. When they realized it was him, it transformed their lives. There is change and transformation that comes when we encounter Jesus. We as human beings were made to not just have encounters with God, though, but to live in his very presence. That was the whole creation order. That is how God intended things for it to be. That we would always enjoy him, that we would always be with him, that we would always know who he was. We see that as the original plan in the Garden of Eden, where God creates the world and it's perfect. And we read that God walks in the cool of the day with Adam. Adam is in communion with God. He is forever living in that presence of God. Sin comes and that breaks though. And what we see throughout the Bible, and especially around Jesus, is we see the importance of encounters with God. But what encounters show us is just a small glimpse into the restoration work that Jesus is ultimately doing. That again, it's not just a one moment thing that we have, but actually one day, again, as followers of Jesus, we will continually live in the presence of God forever and ever. So Jesus in verse 1 is entering into Jericho. And we have here in Luke 19, his last personal encounter before he arrives in Jerusalem. And he's on his way for the triumphant entry, and ultimately we see his passion narrative and we see him dying on the cross. And what I love about Jesus is this, that even though that is where Jesus is going, he still had time for Zacchaeus. He still had time for Zacchaeus. I am terrible if I'm going to do something. There is no point in trying to speak to me. If I've got something in my head, there's no point in talking to me because I end up forgetting what you're going to tell me. And many of you know that to be true. It might look like I'm listening and I'm trying to listen, but what you're telling me will not fully sink in because I'm so preoccupied on what I need to do. Most of you have learned this now, and most of you come and you'll either give me a bit of paper or you'll send me a text or something to remind me because you know that that's what I'm like. You tell me something and it's not that I don't want to listen, it's that, well, I've already got my mind set on something and, you know, you're not getting 100% off me. That's honest and that's who I am. I always say to you, you'll have to remind me that. Hands up if I've ever said, please remind me of that later. Honestly, hands up. Most of the church have put their hands up. That's true. You have to remind me. And it's not that I want to forget. It's that I'm so preoccupied on where I'm going and what I'm doing that I can't really entertain anything new. But that's not who Jesus is. Even though he is going to the cross, he still has time to go for tea with Zacchaeus. How amazing is our Savior? That is amazing. That even though he was going to the cross, he still had, you know what, Zacchaeus, I want to spend some time with you. If that was me, I'd seen Zacchaeus. He'll have to remind me to come back and get you out of that tree later on, Zacchaeus. I need to go and do something first. But that's not who Jesus is. He's going to the cross, and yet he still has a heart for Zacchaeus. He still has time for Zacchaeus. He still has a desire to be with Zacchaeus. And actually, that surprised those who are in the crowd. Do you know the other thing I find amazing? I'm going off on a tangent here. What I also find amazing is so often there is a crowd around Jesus. But that doesn't mean that they were all there with the same purpose. They ended up grumbling. A minister told me when I was training, do you know what? People will always grumble. They grumble at Jesus, they're going to grumble at you. It's one of the best bits of advice I've ever been given as a minister. They grumble at him. Grumble at the Son of God. And actually, they're surprised and they're raging that Jesus would go and spend time with someone like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus lives in Jericho. We read Jericho was a beautiful place. It's known, it was known as the city of palms. It was full of trees, loads of different types of trees, and loads of lovely gardens, which gave a really kind of sweet aroma as well. It was a really desirable place to live. It was known for having beautiful scenery, and it was just a really lovely place to be. And we read about Zacchaeus that he lives here and that he was small in stature. Like I said, that old children's hymn, Zacchaeus was a very little man, a very little man was he. He was small. But also what we see, there's a bit of a play on words here because the word that is used for his stature actually in the Greek points to like he was one quarter of a man. And really what it is speaking about is physical height, but it's also speaking about his reputation within the community. He was not someone that was highly thought of. People thought very, very little of him. So not only was he small in height, but actually people's public opinion, they didn't like him. Why did they not like him? Well, and I think many of you can agree with this, he was a tax collector. Who likes paying their taxes? Hands up, no. No one likes, and we talk about this tax man, but actually they had a tax man, and his name was Zacchaeus. Imagine you knew who your local tax collector was. That person would not be liked. I remember the first paycheck I got and thinking someone's stealing from me. Where's this money going? I've worked hard for that. But Zacchaeus, he would go and he would take money from people. That's how it worked in those days. In the Bible days, it was no different. The actual tax man was a man and he had a name and it was Zacchaeus. No wonder this guy wasn't liked. And even more than that, what we see is that actually he was a Jew. He was one of God's people. He was one of them, but he was collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. This oppressive government. So he's a turncoat. He's taking from his, he's the kind of the opposite of Robin Hood. He's taking from the poor and he's giving it to the rich. Who would like someone like that? Who would want to be around him? We see that actually tax collectors in Jesus' day, they were so disliked that when the Pharisees and religious leaders speak about them, they often put them together with sinners. He's eating with tax collectors and sinners. Such was the dislike for these people. They were outsiders. They were unliked and unwelcome. Zacchaeus collected money from his own people for the Romans. No wonder this guy wasn't liked. But even more than that, what they would do is they would take more than was needed to be taken. They would steal off their own people. They would steal from their own people. So they wouldn't just take what was needed to pay for taxes, but they would take a wee bit more for themselves. And Zacchaeus alludes to that as well. If I've stolen, defrauded anything from anyone, verse 8, I'll restore it fourfold. He's taking, he's stealing as well. No wonder this guy wasn't liked. He had power and wealth, but he was seen very negatively in the public eye. I wonder how it would be if someone like that came to church today. There are maybe even a couple of politicians or public figures that we can think of. Imagine if they came to church. Imagine they walked in and sat beside you. How would you be? How would we react? Well, the call for Jesus is to love them. It's hard as that is. Jesus spent loads of his time with tax collectors and sinners. Those who it looked like that they didn't deserve Jesus to be with them. But here's the very crux of the issue. They didn't deserve him, and neither do you. That's at the very heart of the gospel, that none of us deserve this. It's in grace that he comes. This whole description of Zacchaeus should form in your head an image of someone who was unliked, who was hated, who was despised, someone that you would turn your back on if they walked past you. People did not want to be near him or like him. This guy was a sinner, but worse than that, he was in your face rich as well. And it's your money that's making this guy rich. But what we read in verse 3 is that he wants to see Jesus. He wanted to see who this Jesus was. Remember I was talking about that fame of Jesus beginning to spread? I believe in my spirit, I believe in my heart that there are people in our community who are maybe even a wee bit like Zacchaeus today. They're hearing about this God stuff. And they want to catch a glimpse of who Jesus is. And as Jesus is passing by, we read that Zacchaeus was seeking. Verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. And the word here is he wanted to see who Jesus was. There was a real desire in his heart that he needed to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And the Greek indicates that this was something that Zacchaeus wanted to do for quite some time now. And what we read and what we see, though, is that Zacchaeus, he takes a risk and he takes initiative just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. For Zacchaeus to be in this crowd was something, but the advice would actually be for him to stay away from gatherings if you don't have the Romans near you, because who knows what's going to happen to you, tax collectors. But Zacchaeus does something that every single one of us can learn from. He doesn't let what other people think stop him in his pursuit for Jesus. You know, one of the biggest hindrances I think we have in coming to faith, in coming to Christ, in coming to Jesus, but what's so-and-so going to say? What if so-and-so hears him in church? What if my friends hear? What if my family hear? What if the guys at work? What if? You fill in the blanks. But Zacchaeus doesn't allow what other people think to stop him in his pursuit for Jesus. The Bible tells us when you seek after him with all of your heart, you will find him. God is the worst at playing hide and seek. He's desperate for you to find him. And for me, there's something in where Jesus finds Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in this tree. Where is Jesus going to? He's going to the cross. Zacchaeus is in a tree. Galatians 3 tells us that Christ redeemed us by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And see what I see when I see Zacchaeus? I see this beautiful glimpse of what the gospel is. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, because I'm going to a tree for you. You don't have to hide up there, because I'm going to the tree of Calvary for you. And I'm going to take your place. And actually what we see in verse 4 is what? He ran ahead, he's in this tree because he wants to see, and Jesus is about to pass by. Zacchaeus is in this tree because he is so small. He can't see from the crowd. He can't see what's going on. So he uses an initiative. He climbs up this sycamore tree. But do you know what I find amazing is that's the reason Jesus noticed him. That's what makes him stand out. If he hadn't been in that tree, he'd have been another face in the crowd. Now, Jesus would still have seen him. Jesus knew he was there. But there's something about Zacchaeus coming away and going up in the tree. Why? Because actually there's a negative. That's why he's there. There's a negative that's led him to that point. And often what we find with God is that he uses the negative things in our life that bring us to the foot of the cross. He uses the grief, he uses the sorrow, he uses the things that have weighed us down. And actually what he does is says, I want to take that from you. There's something about our God, and what he does in his redemptive love is he sees us in the hard places, he sees us in the bad places, he sees us in the negative places, he sees the things that are taking us away from the crowd, that are making us isolated, and actually in his grace he goes, I want to meet you right there. You don't have to fix all that stuff. I want to meet you exactly where you are. Jesus takes what the enemy has meant for evil and he uses it for good. And Zacchaeus knows the route Jesus is taking. He knows where he's about to pass by. And he runs ahead to try and catch a glimpse of Jesus. He climbs up this sycamore tree. And I wonder this morning, what is your sycamore tree? What is it that, where are you hiding? Where is it that you're hiding from the crowd? And you're trying to do that thing where you're just looking around. Remember the wee eyes eclipse you see in Still Game where she's peering around the corner? That's what I visage when I think about Zacchaeus here. I don't want to be seen, but I want to kind of see what's going on. I'm peering around the corner. Maybe today you're sitting here thinking, no one knows, no one sees me, no one understands, no one gets me, but Jesus does. He sees you. He gets you. And not even that, he knows your name. Zacchaeus, hurry down. Come down, Zacchaeus. And what Jesus is doing there isn't just calling Zacchaeus from a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree is real, but it also symbolizes so much of what's wrong in Zacchaeus' life. What's led him to this point as a rich, grown man when he's hiding in a tree? Try and picture that. You're in a crowd. You're in Buchanan Street. And there's someone hiding somewhere trying to see the gospel preach that's going on. What's that guy doing? It's not just from the tree that Jesus calls Zacchaeus from. It's the shame. It's the guilt. It's all the stuff that's led this grown rich man to the point where he's hiding in a tree. And see, that's amazing about Jesus is this, friends, is that he calls us from wherever we are, from the miry pits to the sycamore trees of life. Jesus finds you and he calls you. And I want you to see something, because the first half of these verses that we've read this morning are from the perspective of Zacchaeus. But when Jesus and Zacchaeus kind of have this interaction, it shifts and the perspective changes away from Zacchaeus and the perspective goes to Jesus. Jesus is meant to complete your story. So many of us try and get by and try and figure it out. And maybe when things are going hard, we say that wee prayer and things get better and we forget about it and we carry on and But friends, actually, your life is meant to be completed by Jesus. It's not meant to be done from your perspective. It's meant to be done from His. And what we read is that when Jesus came to that place, I bet you Zacchaeus, every time he walked past that sycamore tree, wasn't the tree he looked at, was the spot where Jesus stood. That place, that God moment, that God-ordained moment where Jesus would stop, Jesus would look up, and Jesus would call poor Zacchaeus' name. That place that would become a divine encounter that would leave Zacchaeus changed forever. I can't wait to meet Zacchaeus. He's going to be the quarter man that we see in heaven. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to ask him, what was it like to be in that sycamore tree? What was it like to hear Jesus call your name? How did the community treat you after that? How was it for you? And I wonder this morning, friends, where is that moment in your life, that place that we read where Jesus stopped and looked, where is that moment in your life where that divine encounter has happened? Maybe you can think about it. Mine is back in Stornoway, away in a wee camp. We went on in Valtos, this wee place. And every time I drive past the center, I look to the right and I see it, and it brings fondness to my heart. I think of that moment I met Jesus for the first time. Where is yours? Where is your that place? Maybe you don't have one. Well, let to be that place. Let Jesus find you. And look at this invitation that Jesus gives. Zacchaeus, come down. I want to stay at your house today. Oh, that's great, Jesus. But actually, you see, I've got all this washing I've not put away. I'm actually going somewhere. I've not made up the spare bedroom. Oh, the place is a tip. Can we just do it here, Jesus? Can we just talk here by the sycamore tree? So many of us leave Jesus in church. But actually, he wants to come into your home because he wants to be in your life. And Zacchaeus, we read, joyfully receives him. He welcomes him gladly. This is the thing, friends. The gospel isn't meant to be heard as a clanging judgment and a stick to be beaten up by. It is meant to be heard as a glorious invitation into the very presence of God Himself. Why did Jesus want to go and spend time with Zacchaeus? Verse 10 tells us, verse 9 and 10, today salvation has come to this house. We see the whole summary of the ministry of Jesus. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Of course he would call Zacchaeus. Of course he would call me. I'm a sinner. My life was broken. I'm the one that needs a doctor. I'm the one that needed help. One of the biggest issues we have, friends, is getting to that point when we really realize, actually, I need Jesus. I need him. It doesn't matter how much money Zacchaeus had in the bank. It didn't matter how wonderful the garden smelled in Jericho. Actually, he realized in his life there was something missing. It's what Sandy spoke about a few weeks ago, how God places eternity in the hearts of man. And see, when we find that thing that is missing, see, when we realize that there's a God-shaped hole in my heart that's missing, you will never be able to satisfy it. You will always be searching. You will always be looking until you encounter the risen Jesus. Came to seek and save. And friends, what I love about this is it is Zacchaeus who thought he was looking and searching for Jesus. What we see in the Bible is it is God who's been searching for Zacchaeus his whole life. It is Jesus who's come to seek and to save. We see in Hosea this beautiful illustration of who God is and his redemptive love. And there's a word that's used about how God entices or God woos, God draws. This wooing of God, this enticing where he's drawing you to himself in his love. And Jesus, as we wrap up this morning, friends, he's searching. He's come and he's searching for you. And actually, he knows exactly where you are. He knows why you're in the sycamore tree. He knows all the things that you've done. He knows all the mistakes that you've made. He knows all the words that people say about you, the things that weigh heavy upon your heart. He knows all the reasons that you will give and why you can't, and you can't do this, and you've got this on a Tuesday, and there's this throughout the week. But actually, friends, he knows it all. And yet he still calls you by name. And here's the amazing thing as we finish. It left Zacchaeus transformed forever. He gave away fourfold all that he had stolen. Why? Because God's redemptive love, it does not affirm us in our sins. It transforms us into his image and likeness. And at a few other points I wanted to touch on this morning, but actually I think that's a whole other sermon that we'll keep for God for next Sunday, God willing. That actually God does not want to affirm you in your sin. He loves you far too much to leave you in that sycamore tree. He loves you too much to leave you in your mess, your mistakes, and your sin. And actually, his love transforms. And it draws us closer to him. And it makes us into the likeness of the one who came to seek and to save that and those who are lost. Amen.